Good morning to everyone joining us for this online service. We're glad you've chosen to praise and worship with us today. We are about to wind down, just a couple weeks left, our new sermon series on tough questions. We began this series a couple of weeks ago with a look into the book of Ecclesiastes and asked the question, can I live without all the answers? We concluded we can if we will live by faith. Last Sunday morning, we tackled what I think is the toughest question of all. How can a good God allow so much pain and suffering? If you missed either of those messages or you'd like to hear them again, they're available on our website at MuhammadChristian.org. This morning, we're going to the beginning of Solomon's writing of this book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, and we're going to find the answer to yet another tough question. Now you go ahead and turn to that passage and hold it, and ready, we'll use it in a moment. King Solomon, remember, was the wisest and the richest man alive in his day. He writes this book to share his wisdom with us on many different and difficult topics that we have to deal with each and every day. I will warn you, he does write brutally honest. Sometimes it's hard to listen to what he says, but it's the truth, and we all need to hear it. Today's question is basic. It's foundational to everything you and I will face in our day-to-day living. And it's simply this. What's the point of it all? Or to say it another way, what is my purpose in life? Does my life really matter? Why am I here? Or how can I live the good life? So many people today lack contentment. They lack a peace of mind. Our appliances are never new enough. Our clothes are never fashionable enough. Our friends never text us enough. Our relationships are never romantic enough. And our lives are never fulfilling enough. Pastor Jeff, have you noticed during this pandemic, your bank account never seems to be large enough? Your children never seem to be satisfied enough. Your internet is never fast enough. The weather is never good enough.
Amen to that.
So we find ourselves asking this question over and over again. What is the point of it all? In Ecclesiastes chapter number 1, Solomon gives us 5 things that happen when you have no point, no purpose, no meaning in your life. Now, I will be reading the scriptures today from the Message translation because I believe it makes it a little more clear for us today. If you don't have the Message translation, you can find it on your YouVersion app on your smartphone or BibleGateway.com on your computer. Or this morning, you just follow along with the scriptures on the screen. The first thing he says happens when you have no purpose in your life is life seems useless. Look with me beginning at verse number 1. What's there to show for a lifetime of work? A lifetime of working your fingers to the bone. One generation goes this way, the next one arrives, but nothing changes. He's saying that no matter how hard you work, you never seem to get ahead. You find yourself doing the same thing day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, just like your folks did before you and just like their folks did before them. And you just want to throw up your hands and ask, what's the use? What's the point of it all? Life is short, then you die. You take nothing with you. You leave everything to the next generation. They rent out your house, they spend your inheritance, and nothing changes. It seems useless. Secondly, he says, life seems unfulfilling. Verse 8, Solomon said, there's nothing new on this earth. Year after year, it's the same old thing. Some people live their life in a routine. Others simply live their life in a rut. You feel like you're spinning your wheels, going nowhere. Or like you're running on a treadmill, but you're still in the same place. Mick Jagger described many people years ago when he sang, I can't get no satisfaction. I try and I try and I try and I try, but I can't get no satisfaction. Ever notice how restless people are today? I think it's because our culture is trying to find happiness and make sense of it all in places and things where it can never be found. So we go through life unfulfilled. Listen carefully. You will never find purpose and fulfillment in things. God did not create us that way. Thirdly, he would say, life seems insignificant. Look at verse 11. Nobody remembers what happened yesterday. And the things that will happen tomorrow, nobody will remember them either. Don't count on being remembered. Well, isn't that encouraging? When you have no meaning or no purpose in your life, it does not matter who scored the winning run when the Cubs won the World Series in Game 7 of the championships in 2016. Okay, it's quiz time again. We'll ask you a couple questions. You just answer them among your family there. Solomon said nobody remembers what happened yesterday. Let's see. Question number one, who did the Cubs beat in the World Series in 2016? Give your answer.
Cleveland Indians.
Now, if you said the Texas Rangers, you're wrong. If you said the Cleveland Indians, Pastor Jeff, you're correct. Question number two, and this could make it a little easier on you, true or false? You got a 50-50 chance here, okay? True or false, the final game of the series went into extra innings. True or false? Go.
True.
It went 10 innings. Number three, did the Cubs win the final game at home or away? Go. If you said at home, you're wrong. They won the seventh and final game of the series away. So how did you do? And what's the point? What's the point of all that? Listen, when breaking the most epic drought in sports history, 108 years in the making, when that cannot be remembered, it's no wonder what we achieve day after day seems insignificant. Fourth, he would say life seems uncontrollable. When you have no purpose, life gets out of control pretty quick. Verse 15, I like this. Life is like a corkscrew that cannot be straightened. It's a minus that won't add up. How many times each of us find ourselves in a situation that makes no sense? But we have no control over it. It happens in our relationships. It happens in our workplace. It happens in politics. It happens on social media. And yes, it happens in the church. Even innocently, you say something or do something, and somebody takes it the wrong way. They don't try to understand. They won't even listen or give you a chance to explain. And if they let you try to explain, you just seem to be adding fuel to the fire. Seems you cannot say or do anything anymore without it spiraling out of control. No matter how hard you try, there are some things you cannot control. And as much as we don't like having all the answers, we don't like losing control either. Number five, when you have no purpose, life seems confusing. Solomon says, beginning in verse 16, I know more and I'm wiser than anyone before. I've got kids like that. I know more and I'm wiser than anyone before. I have stockpiled wisdom and knowledge. What I have finally concluded is that so-called wisdom and knowledge are mindless and witless, nothing but spitting into the wind. Are you kidding me? Solomon, the wisest man, save Jesus, who ever lived, says, I'm an example. If you're searching for meaning and purpose in life, you're not going to find it. As the great theologian Bob Dylan wrote, it's blowing in the wind. How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they are forever banned? His conclusion was the same as Solomon's. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. It's confusing. Nobody understands. Why for this man, for Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, why was this confusing for him? May I be bold for a moment, Pastor Jeff? I'm not judging Solomon or anyone else for that matter. I am not qualified. But after reading Solomon's life story, I think his confusion, which by the way is no different from today, his confusion came because he was living for himself. Now don't misunderstand me. He lived by the same self-centered rule many of us live by today. I'll do it myself. I'll figure it out. I'll try this, and if that doesn't work, what? I'll try something else. And I know it didn't work for you, but that would never happen to me. Again, don't misunderstand me. Solomon was wise, and he loved God. I have no doubt of that. But he lived for himself, just like many of you. You love God, but you're living for yourself. Look at chapter 2 for just a moment in Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verse 10. Solomon says, everything I wanted, I took. I never said no to myself. I gave in to every impulse, held back nothing. I sucked the marrow of pleasure out of every task. It was my reward for a hard day's work. Verse 11, then I took a good look at everything I had done, looked at all the sweat and hard work, but when I looked, I saw nothing but smoke. Smoke and spitting into the wind. There was nothing to any of it. Nothing. When you are self-centered and not God-centered, you can look in a lot of places and in a lot of faces, and you can drive yourself nuts trying to figure it out. Solomon did. Some try to find meaning and purpose and happiness in making money or in pleasure or sport or in working out, or they will live vicariously through their children. Some people just try to escape meaning and purpose. They watch TV hour after hour. They're on Facebook, or they're texting all the time, or they try various addictions, drugs, alcohol, pornography, video games. When you don't know the meaning of life or your purpose in life, the result is frustration and confusion as you chase after the wind. Now, I believe all of us today live at one of three levels in life. The first level is survival. That's the lowest level. But maybe that's where some of you find yourself today, survival mode. Maybe you're surviving financially, trying to live paycheck to paycheck, and this pandemic has not helped you one little bit. Maybe you're trying to survive a bad marriage. Maybe you're trying to survive a dead-end job. Or maybe you're trying to survive your children's teenage years. And you find your life is out of control, thinking there's no way out. And if that's where you are today, you are living on the survival level. The second level is success. And this is where most of us are. Because by the world's standards, life is pretty good. You're not the richest. You don't drive the newest car or live in the biggest house. But there are so many worse off than you are. You've got it pretty good, all told. You have your perks, your possessions, and your promotions. You have good health, and on some level, you are living the American dream. You are successful. But let me ask you, if you are on that successful level, if you are successful, why don't you feel more fulfilled? As you achieve and then hold on to your success, do you have quality time for each other? Do you have quality time with your children and your friends? Are you joyfully able to be involved in your community? Do you know your next door neighbors? Are you an intimate part of a church family? Now, being successful in those manners is not a bad life, but may I suggest there is a third level. And it may be time for you to make a decision to move from where you are, from survival or success, to the third level, which is significance. The significance level of life is more than making money. It's more than possessions or promotions. It's about passion and purpose. It's about making a difference with your life. So how do you move from survival or success to significance? Do I have to change my job or career? I don't know. Maybe. But for most people, it's not that drastic. You know what it is? It's a change of our attitude, our values, and our beliefs. It's taking a step back and saying, whoa, wait a minute. What's the point of it all? And at some point, you have to realize how much you matter to God. Listen to what God thinks of you. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. It's in the New Testament. Paul is writing a beautiful letter here. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll begin looking at verse 3, staying with the Message translation. Here's what he says. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind. He settled on us as the focus of his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, that sacrifice being his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, because of the sacrifice, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need. Verse 11, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Probably the greatest atheist of the last century was Bertrand Russell. Listen to what he said. Unless you assume the existence of God, the question of life's meaning and purpose is irrelevant. In other words, without God, doesn't matter. Doesn't make any difference. Now, this is not a Christ follower. This is an atheist. When you don't know something's purpose, you will tend to misuse it and abuse it. If you miss the purpose God created for you, you take God out of the picture of everything in your life. Look around us today. We have sexual abuse, pornography of all kinds. Why? Because God's plan is for sex to be an intimate relationship between a married man with his wife, and when you take God out of the picture, you abuse it and anything goes. We have bullying and racism, and social media has taken that to a whole new level. Why? Because we forget we are all created in God's image. He made us to love one another. He made us to think of others more highly than ourselves. He made us to treat others as we want to be treated. And when you take God out of that picture, we abuse one another. Take advantage. What about the abuse of money? When you take God out of the picture of how we use our finances, we abuse the blessings He has given us to help others and to advance the kingdom of God. We begin to spend more and more on ourselves. Spending money to buy things we don't need, with money we don't have, to impress people we don't even like. I read about a very wealthy man, very wealthy. A man who decided one year he was going to buy his mother a special birthday gift. One like none other, one she would never forget. And he read about a one-of-a-kind bird for sale. Now, what was unique about this bird was it had a 4,000-word vocabulary. It spoke three languages and sang country music. He paid $50,000 for the bird and had it delivered to his mother. The next day, he called and asked his mother how she liked the bird, and she said, "Son, it was delicious." Now, that's funny. I don't care, y'all. How do you find meaning and purpose for your life? Remember Ephesians 1:11? It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. To find yourself in Christ is to be in His Word, the Bible. You will never find God's purpose for your life by watching reality TV or by having someone read your palms. Or by sitting on a rock in the Swiss Alps meditating on the mysteries of the universe. When you read the Bible, you will understand you were created by God for God. As we shared last week, He created you with freedom to choose. Before He laid the foundations of the earth, He knew we would use that freedom sometimes to choose wrong, to choose disobedience, to choose sin. But he also laid out a plan to sacrifice himself through his son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile our bad choices if we choose to come back to him. If we choose to repent of our sins, and if we choose to be baptized in his name, he has already chosen to forgive us our sins and make us free, abundantly free, to live in the newness of life again. So what's our takeaway? God has created you with the freedom to choose. And it's time to choose now. Are you going to reach out? That is, are you going to reach out and grab everything this world has to offer? Are you going to go for the gusto? If you do, you will soon realize you're trying to grab the wind. Just saying. Or, are you going to reach out? Are you going to choose to come back to God through Jesus, where you will find out who you are and what you're living for? But listen carefully. If your decision is to reach up to God, you have to know God cannot pour out his love into hands that are already full. You cannot hang on to the things of the world, things that never last, and then simply add God into the mix in there somewhere. You're going to have to let go of some things. And then reach up and choose God. Let me close with this scripture. Moses is speaking to the people of Israel. They have just been wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. Moses is about to die, and just before he turns the reins over to young Joshua, he gives this great word of wisdom to them and to us. I place before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. And love God, listening obediently to him, firmly embracing him. He is life itself. Even Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Father God, thank you this morning for our opportunity to share together in this virtual worship time, in the preaching of your word, and in our being together with those closest to us to share a moment of challenge, I hope, as you speak to each one of us. My prayer today, Father, is that you have spoken to us, and we realize we do need to make some choices, and the time to do that is now. May our choices be to choose life, life that is found only in Jesus, because that's where we will find our meaning in life, our purpose in life. What's the point of it all? Jesus. We give you our thanks in his name. Amen.